Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Community of Grace via Facebook Live. There's a couple of ways that you can join us or follow along with us. One is you can join us on Facebook Live at Cog Family Community. The other one is that you can get on Zoom, and Fred, who's working with that, he's good about sending out an email earlier in the week, so you have all the information to get on Zoom. The other one is that you can go to our webpage at www.icgrace.org, and you can listen to the sermons, and you can listen to the Bible study on that, and those are posted later on today. They'll be on there, so you can listen to those, but they're just audio only. So, and also the questions that are from the message and the questions from the Bible study, they are posted on our webs on our church email list, which is which you can go to coglist at coglist.org, and you can get those. And so these are the different ways that you can follow along with us as we do the things we're doing. Also, I want to thank you all for your faithfulness in giving. You know, giving grows our faith, and our faith being strengthened is something that we need right now in times like we're in. And so as you give to the church, you're really giving to God, and you give to God through the church. And as you do that, it grows your faith. And so thank you for that. And, you know, keep giving so that God will keep strengthening your faith by you doing that. So we appreciate that. Also, I want to remind everybody that Daylight Savings Time is next week, so make sure that you turn your clocks ahead 1 hour. Otherwise, you may miss us. So make sure you do that next Saturday night. Okay, let me open us up in prayer, and we'll get into the Word here. So, Father, we thank you for our time this morning. God, I just thank you for your Word. I thank you for the stuff that's in James, the rich content of James, which is where we will be again today. Father, I just pray that as we go through this letter, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and minds, that you would just meet us where we are, speak to us where we are, and that you would have your way with us. Lord, just come and take control of our time, and we give you glory in everything. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, today we're going to continue in chapter 4 of the book of James. As I said last week, a huge focus of the book of James so far has been about what comes out of us in our words and our deeds as a result of what is in us. We talked last time about what the source of the conflicts between one another are. James says, isn't the source of that outward fighting the pleasures that cause a conflict in you? So, when troubles arise, it's always good to start by looking at yourself first before you rush into confronting another. So, it is so important to be in touch and to be aware of what is going on inside ourselves and to be honest with ourselves when we look inward. But in addition to all that, James talks about these pleasures in us, these things that he starts chapter 4 with, these things that are in us, or these things that we open ourselves up to. You know, they're the things that run contrary to the Spirit of God that is in us. And these create a conflict within us. And therefore, we will have conflicts with others because we are not at peace within ourselves. But in addition to that, as we've gone through this book, we've also looked at lust. We talked about lust last time, which lust is an intense desire. It's about intensely desiring things. Now, the things that we desire may not be bad things, but our intense desire for these things may take us off track from the Spirit of God that is within us. But then we talked about the things that are not good for us as well, and what the pursuing of these things can do to our heart, and how we need to be careful to not let anything compromise our heart so that we follow and give to God out of the right heart, the right mind, and the right spirit, so that the Lord remains our master and we don't find ourselves compromised and therefore have a battle ensuing in us for dominance between God and whatever else we're pursuing. So our heart towards God is pure, and so that our heart with God is true. You know, remember, you know, not only does God see our heart, but it is very important to God that what is in our heart match what we say and do. But it's also important that our heart be pure and true, because what is in us will result in what comes out of us toward God and true and toward other people. So the question is, what do we do with these battles, these things that are waging war inside of us? What do we do with these pleasures that he calls them, that battle with God's Spirit that's within us? You know, and remember, this letter was written to believers. This is written to teachers. This is written to leaders. And he says in verse 7 of chapter 4, he says, "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So as believers, we are constantly faced with two choices in life: submit or resist. You know, submit or resist to people in their various places in our lives, regardless of how close or removed they are from us, whether it be a spouse, a parent, a leader, or an authority figure, whether it be in or out of the church. You know, and our support or resistance is based, among other things, on our level of relationship that we have with these people. You know, the level of our relationship, meaning the degree of intimacy that we have with these people, the depth of the relationship that we have with them, how much authority we give them, how much we support them. For example, a local official or political leader may be a bit more removed, you know, maybe because either of the proximity of where they are geographically, or the level of personal relationship we have with them, or how much I support them, or I support what they stand for. And in the spiritual, we make choices constantly regarding submission and resisting. And this verse says, "Submit therefore to God and resist the devil." Now notice verse 7 says, "Submit therefore." Therefore meaning because of the quarrels and the conflicts among us. You know, because of the pleasures that wage war within us. Because of our lusts. Because the fact that we envy. Because of the things that we ask for with wrong motives. Because we make friends with the world. Because of these things, therefore submit. But God desires you because He loves you and He knows what's best for you. So when we submit to Him, we're submitting to that which is the best for us. Verse 6 says that He offers a greater grace. Now grace is empowerment, and so He's offering a greater empowerment. He says that He's opposed to the proud, and that those that and the proud are those that don't want help, or those who don't think that they need the help. But it says that He gives that grace to the humble. And the humble are those who see the need for it, and those that welcome it. So it says He stands against the proud, or rather it's that He is against their pride. So they will become humble. And then hopefully will have learned and see the error of their ways and see their need and take hold of what He's offering. And so verse 7 says, "Submit therefore to God, submit to His way, submit to His control, submit to Him in your heart and in your mind." And remember, as I said, this is written to believers. He's encouraging believers to submit because believers do not always submit to God. And believers do not always resist the devil either. And so this is why James wrote this. This is an encouragement for us in what to do. Now let me give you an example of this. Numbers chapter 16. Verses 1 through 3. "Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the son of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took action, and they rose up before Moses together with some of the sons of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, chosen in the assembly, men of renown. They assembled together against Moses and Aaron." So these were priests, leaders, chosen men of reputation. And they're standing against God's chosen leaders. Now, At the point of number 16, what had happened up to this point was is that this is after the people had reached the borders of the Promised Land, and they send in the 12 spies to spy out the land, and the spies come back, and 10 of them gave that bad report back to the people, which basically said this. If you take their report and you... What it basically said was this. They said, we don't trust God to help us take the Promised Land. The people of the land are too big, they're too scary, their cities are too big for God to help us with. And so they were talking about going back to Egypt, where God had delivered them from. And Moses and those standing with him, Aaron and Joshua and Caleb, they tried to encourage the people. And they're saying, hey, don't rebel. Trust God. Submit to God, even when it looks impossible. If God says trust Him, we can trust Him. But the people wanted to rebel, and they even wanted to stone them for this. So Moses submits to God. Again, we see submission here. He submits to God and he prays for the people, even though they're rebelling. He prays for them and he pleads for them. And God says the people are going to go back out into the wilderness for 40 years. Because these people could not take the Promised Land. God had delivered them from Egypt physically, but their hearts were still hanging on to Egypt. And because of that, they could not take the land because they were still submitted to Egypt, and therefore they were resistant to God. So these men, these 10 spies that brought this bad report, well, they died by plague. And the people continued to resist. They continued to not submit. And then they go against God, and they went and tried to take the land anyway. But they were driven back by the people who lived in the land because God was not with them. And so after this, the people kind of calm down. They appear to be a little bit more submissive. But then you have this group of leaders, these chosen men who still rebel and they don't submit. And they come against Moses and they come against Aaron. And they say, you have gone far enough. So they're rebelling against Moses and Aaron's leadership and authority. And again, it says in verse 3, for all the congregation are holy, every one of them. And the Lord is in their midst. So why do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? So these people, this is the crazy thing. These people are complaining about being holy. And the thing is, they were already holy. Holy means to be set apart. And so these people were from the tribe of Levi. You know, the Levites were set aside for service. You know, and God's people were holy. They were separated to God. They were, as God's people, they were God's possession. They were set apart as a people already. And God had set Moses and Aaron aside for the areas where they were, where they served. But these people became jealous and they became envious, which we have talked about in the book of James. You know, they were envious and jealous of Moses and Aaron. They wanted what they had. And they forgot that they were also going to be held accountable for what they had been entrusted with. But they weren't looking at what they had been entrusted with. They're looking at what Moses and Aaron had. And so they didn't even appreciate what they had. But plus, they didn't like being sent back into the wilderness. They didn't like that their attempt to take the land outside of God's approval didn't succeed. And so they unfairly accuse Moses and Aaron, and they rebel against them. And therefore, they rebel against God. When you rebel against God's chosen leader, you rebel against God. Jesus said, if you reject me, you reject the Father. And so they rebel against God's people and against God, and they submit to their jealousy and their emotions of not getting what they wanted. They resisted God's appointed leaders. They resisted submitting to the situation. They resisted looking at themselves. They resisted admitting where they were wrong. And they resisted letting go of Egypt. Now, if you're familiar with this story, a contest is then set up by God as related by Moses. And those who agree to come are going to come with their censers or their fire pans, which were a container or a shovel-like device of bronze, was used for carrying live coals of fire, which incense was burned. And the rebels would bring their censers, their fire pans, and Aaron would bring his, and they would bring them before the Lord the next day and let the Lord choose who's holy. Now, Dathan and Abiram, they said, you know what, we're not even going to show up for that. So the next day they have this gathering. And as these two sides come with their fire pans, the Lord opens up the ground and swallows up Korah and his household. And even though Dathan and Abiram aren't there, their households get swallowed up too, along with all their possessions, their household and their possessions. Now, the other rebels, the 250, they saw this and they ran. Well, fire comes from God and consumes those 250 people. James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. What's the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You commit murder. You envious and cannot obtain. So you fight and quarrel. Let's go back to verse 7 of James chapter 4. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, the devil is into winning. He's not into wasting time. So if you resist the devil, if you submit to God and you yield to God and you yield to God's way and God's control, the devil will leave. He will come back and try again later. He may attack you in a different way later, but if you're resisting, he's not going to hang around if it isn't working. It's the same with Jesus. When he was tempting Jesus in Luke chapter 4, you know, he tempted him. We read of three different times where he tempts him. But it says in verse 13, it says, when the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. Again, if you're going to resist, he's not going to hang around. Verse 8 of chapter 4 of James, draw near to the Lord and he will draw near to you. So pray. Refer to Scripture. Claim the truths of Scripture. That's what Jesus did. You know, he didn't entertain the devil's lies. He resisted, and eventually the devil fled. Now, I say eventually because he will try. He'll try to hook you. He'll try to find something inside of you to grab a hold of. He'll try to wear you down. But fight him, and if you fight him, he will flee. Run from him and run from that temptation and run to God. Get close to the one that you need to be following. You know, there's a saying we had around here for years, and it was, you become like those you hang around. If you don't want to give in to the devil, then quit hanging around with him. So how do we do that? How do we hang around with him? Well, if we're submitting to the temptations and we're submitting to the lies, and we're focusing on those things and we're dwelling on them, you know, that's how you're hanging around, and you're going to fall from that kind of thing. But if you hang around with Jesus instead and listen to him and not the devil, he's going to flee. You know, another thing about being like those that you hang around is when you dwell on those temptations and you don't put them down and you don't walk away, you give into those things, you fall in with those things, you become like those things. So another thing to think about with all of this is that when we struggle, when things happen, when the devil does come, is why does God allow this? Why does God allow the struggles? Why does God not stop every temptation? We know he stops some of them, because he so perfectly stops them, because we may not even know we're being tempted. But some things do get through. Well, he lets them through to teach us things. He lets them through to grow us, to transform us. there's lessons we learn as we go through the battles and the struggles. We grow through the battles and the struggles. You know, one of the things that we learned 2 years ago, back in 2019, we had a focus for a while called Game Changers. And in Game Changers, it focused on that in the face of temptation, in the face of feeling defeated and afraid, when you lean on the truth of who you are in Christ in those times, when you focus on the promises of God, when you run to the Lord and submit to Him and what He's saying, in those times of unpleasant feelings, in those times of temptations, they become opportunities to reinforce the truths of God and the truth of who you are in Christ in you further as you lean on them, as you embrace them and grab a hold of them in those tough times. And as you do, it changes you. You become more of who you really are. You move closer to stepping into the fullness of your true and full identity in Christ. Now, if you resist God, though, and submit to the devil and his lies and temptations, you're going to fall. And you'll fall faster and further each time as a result. And you'll respond to others out of that. But because of what is being reinforced in you, if you resist the devil and submit to God, it opens your mind to the truths of God versus the lies of the devil, and you will grow in the face of the attacks, and you will grow in the face of adversity and not be taken out by it. Verse 8 of James chapter 4 also says, "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." So, after we read those encouraging verses about submitting to God and resisting the devil and drawing near to God, James says, "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." In other words, you can't draw near to God, and God can't draw near to you if you still have your hands in where they don't belong. I mean, how many people cry out to God but are holding on to things that they need to let go of, wondering why God hasn't helped them? Well, He will once they let go and turn to Him. Let me kind of give you an example of this. It's like the person who is, say, addicted to pornography. At the same time that they are indulging in that, they're praying for God to help them. Well, put the porn down. Turn it off. He can't help you if you're not cooperating with the help. You know, it's purify your heart. Quit wavering. Quit going back and forth from what you shouldn't be doing to what you should be doing and then back to what you shouldn't. That's what double-minded is. You know, going back and forth, being inconsistent, being divided, as opposed to being committed. If you cannot draw near to God, He cannot draw near to you. And if you put things and keep putting things or the same things in the way, put them down. Keep them down. Be consistent with that. Be committed to that. You know, and so what are the things that we dirty our hands with or taint our hearts with? You know, things that we know that are sin, but we do them anyway. But then, what about the other things? Like, for example, the hurts from the past that we dredge up and relive again and again and again. Sometimes we do this because we haven't found the healing that we need. Some people don't want to be healed. Some want to use the pain to get what they want from other people. This is also double-minded. Or maybe we pick up bad habits or we pick up old behaviors that we shouldn't, which usually start from dwelling on those things in the first place. And the question is, why are you believers dwelling on it? And so we can pick up and dwell on thoughts that we shouldn't. We can dwell on attitudes that we shouldn't, judgments that we shouldn't, fears that we shouldn't be embracing. And as we stick our hands in these things, we open our hearts to these things and we dwell on them, and they affect our hearts and our minds, and they lead to responses. So it's not just the things that we do, it's also the things that we think. because what we think can lead to what we do. Verse 9 of James 4. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Now, that verse does not sound very encouraging at first. It does not sound very positive, does it? But what James is saying is not how it reads. What he's saying is endure. He's saying hang in there. He's saying be disciplined and stay disciplined. When the temptation comes to jump into things in your heart and mind and some actual activity that's not good for you, you know, in the midst of that battle is not the time to ignore it. It's not the time to shove it aside. And what I mean by that, it's not the time to blow it off. It's not the time to treat it like it doesn't exist. It's not the time to deny the problem. It's not the time to deny that there is a temptation and that there is an issue. You know, and it's looking at what the real issue is. You know, sometimes we run to things that we shouldn't. And when we run to it, it's actually a distraction because we're trying to escape another temptation. So we run from one temptation to escape another one. But what he's saying here is he's saying instead, he says, get serious about what's really going on with you. You know, you're being tempted here. You know, something's being stirred up here. Don't ignore it. Don't treat it like it doesn't exist. You know, again, going back to the previous verses about disciplining yourself. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. You know, going back to the real issue, sometimes some of our temptation comes from other things that we're carrying around. Things that we haven't faced. Things that we haven't addressed. And once we address these things, the devil has nothing to work with us. Work with within us. You know, some of our temptations as a result of something that is in us that has not been addressed, but has been ignored. And once we appropriately attend to that issue, the temptation will go away because the temptation was coming from that thing that was in us. If we remove that thing, then the devil's got nothing to work with. Because the devil will use anything, even what is in us, to take us down. Verse 10 of chapter 4. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and He will exalt you. When we are tempted, draw near to God. And in His presence, get real with Him about what's going on. With what you're feeling and with what you're thinking. Call out for His help. But also, don't be calling on His help while your hands are still in what they shouldn't be in. And your minds and your hearts are dwelling on the things that you shouldn't. So in other words, don't be asking for His help while you're imagining the things that you shouldn't be doing. Don't be asking for His help while you're enticing yourself with what you shouldn't be doing. Don't ask for His help when you're entertaining thoughts of what you're going to do that you shouldn't be doing. Put those things down because they're pulling you in the wrong direction. Focus on the Lord totally, not dividedly. You know, don't be double-minded. Be singularly focused on one thing and one thing only and put everything else down. Be humble. See yourself truly, which is to admit that we need help, that we need God's help. Because we can't do this alone. We can't do this without it. So deal with the inward. Put that stuff that you don't need to be picking up down. Don't pick it back up again. You know, really address things and cooperate fully with God. And when you do, He will exalt you. Meaning He will lift you up. He will lift you out of that bad place that you're in. He'll bring you to victory. If you draw near to the Lord and really let Him come near to us, but if we stay double-minded, which is to really keep our hands and our hearts in those things that are not good for us, while we appear to or say that we're doing the right things, we won't see the freedom and we won't see the victory that we want. Again, remembering the theme running through James, what comes out of us is a result of what's inside of us. Then whichever one of these we do, it goes into outward behavior. Again, keeping in mind, James is talking to believers here. And unfortunately, in the world is full of believers that are quarreling and in conflict. The world is full of believers that are at war with the pleasures within them and are consumed with lust and envy. The world is full of believers that ask things for the wrong motives. The world is full of believers who don't always submit to God. And they don't always resist the devil. The world is full of believers who become jealous and envious and want what one another has, and they don't appreciate what they have. The world is full of believers who resist God's appointed leaders. They resist looking at themselves. They don't admit when they're wrong. And they can and they won't let go of the past. The world is full of believers who make friends with the world and are double-minded. The world is full of those who drudge up and relive the hurts in the past again and again. And the world is full of believers that are not, who haven't found the healing that they need. Some don't want to be healed. Some want to use their pain to get what they want from others. Some believers pick up and dwell on thoughts and attitudes and judgments and fears that they shouldn't. And some ignore the battle that is really, that where the battle really is. They shove it aside. They blow things off. They deny the problems and the temptations and the issues. They ignore the real issues and fall over and over again. Some believers run to things that they shouldn't as a distraction. So they run from one temptation to escape another. Some believers keep their hands dirty. But some believers are not double-minded. Some believers are those that submit to God's way and to God's control. Some believers are those that are resisting the devil. Some believers are drawing near to God. Some believers are keeping their hands clean. And there are those who purify their hearts. And some believers also see themselves truly and admit that they need God's help and that they cannot do things alone. And they really address things and they cooperate fully with God. The question is, which one are you? Now your answer will answer James's question at the beginning of chapter 4, which is, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Again, what comes out of you is a result of what's inside of you. So the question is, which one of these kind of believers are you? Are you a believer that is submitting to God and resisting the devil? Are you a believer that is resisting God, or are you a believer that is resisting the devil and submitting to God? Which one are you? Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you would help us to see ourselves truly. Lord, in your name, I come against the lies of the devil that would seek to bring condemnation. But I pray, God, that you would speak your truth to us. And show us where we really are. And show us what we need to do. Show us where our battles really are. Lord, I pray that we would submit to you so that you can lift us up. I pray, Lord, for the victory of every believer hearing my voice and for every believer that isn't, that we would all be those believers that are submitted to you, that are resisting the devil and walking in victory. Not only for our sakes, but for everybody that we encounter and for our witness and for the ministry that we are all a part of. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. So before you go, let me just share with you the questions that I put out on our church email list. The first question is, who is a challenge for you to submit to and why? The next question is, who do you need God's grace for? Is there anything that you are hanging on to that you know is not right? And what is it about that thing that causes you to hang on to it or pick it up? And are there thoughts or attitudes that you need to put down or not pick up? And what is it about these things that cause you to pick them up? Let me just remind you again that next week is daylight savings time. So make sure that you turn your clocks ahead 1 hour. And we'll see you next week. So God bless you.